Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am here joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, how's it going?
It is going great. I got a new desk. I got a new microphone arm. My desk has purple LEDs on it. I'm living in the future.
Big upgrade. I did think for a minute that introduction that I said your name so quickly that some people may have thought I was introducing Kelly Kelly to the show.
What I bet she keeps up with Joshi.
106 episodes with no guest and then dropping in Kelly Kelly would be a big shock to the system.
Yeah.
But happy that you're at a new desk. Same microphone, right?
Same mic, yep.
Same mic, just on an arm.
Yeah, I got a little arm guy for him that I've had just hanging out in a closet for a while. Because I used to just record at my kitchen table, and that wouldn't have attached well. But now I got a nice desk.
Well, I'm very jealous of you because I'm sitting here with my computer and microphone on a table that's not big enough to hold both of them. So my microphone sits precariously hanging off the side of the small table that I use. So I wish I had an arm. I guess I probably could get an arm because it has a little bit of a lip, but I never have. So too bad for me.
Yeah.
Well, for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio, we've got quite a lot to talk about. We've got a big Stardom show to talk about. We've got a big Marigold show to talk about. We've got some Seedling to talk about. We've got a little bit of Ice Ribbon to talk about. So plenty to cover. So let's dive right into it. We will start with a show that just happened a day ago. That would be Stardom's The Conversion. From June 22nd at Yoyogi National Gymnasium, number 2, in front of 1,654 fans. Kelly, were you converted?
I'm pretty sure I was converted. I think I was.
What did you think of the show?
I liked it. I had a good time with it. I thought it was a pretty good show. It was, you know, a little long, but like most Stardom shows are, and overall, I had a lot more I liked than I didn't like.
I really liked the show. I thought it was very good. Didn't really have anything sort of on the match of the year level for me. But I thought everything really was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. So
nothing like stuck out as like, ugh, that was a stinker. Everything was good at minimum.
Yes. As Kelly... Now, Kelly, you were spoiled on something, which I guess we'll get to. But you told me, hey, I got spoiled. It's a newsworthy show. And at some point I started sitting there like as matches were going by and nothing was really happening newsworthiness. I was like, what's going on here?
I'm just going to send you that randomly now.
A lot happens.
I'm just going to send you the eyes emoji out of nowhere.
But the show began with a pre-show match, Fukigen Death defeating Rion in 4 minutes and 33 seconds. Kelly, I didn't see it, and I'm assuming you didn't see it.
Nope.
Great. The first official match on the show was a title match for the Goddesses of Stardom title, the champions Azuki and Koguma successfully defending their titles against Hanan and Saya Iida, the New Blood Tag Team Champions, in 19 minutes and 23 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this first match of this show proper?
This kind of rocked. Like, they both teams really went for broke here. I don't know if it was just like, they're like, yeah, we're in the opener, we're going to kick this off, we're going to give everyone a great show. Or they're like, we're in the opener, what the fuck? Why are we so far down the card? We're going to blow the doors off this place. But either way, it worked out. I went 4 stars on this one. Saya and Hanan have quickly became like one of my favorite tag teams in Stardom. They're really fun together. And I was kind of bummed they didn't win. But hey, they still have the New Blood tag titles.
Well, Kelly, I will one up you. I went 4.25 stars on
this. Wow.
I thought it was really good. Thought it was a great choice to kick off the show in terms of bringing energy. You know, you have some stakes with a title match. It's not just some random like, hey, here's 6 people who aren't really doing anything on the show to go out there and do something. So I thought it was a really good start to the show. I thought they all went out and worked really hard. You know, I personally am a big fan of Saya Iida, so I'm happy to see her get some focus as she hasn't really in past times. I'll say love the forearms to the ground. That was great. There was also a suplex where it fully looked like Koguma was just going to drop Saya Iida on her head.
Yes.
I was like, uh-oh. And then it was just a normal suplex. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good. But I thought it was awesome. Great start to the show. As I said, Azuki and Koguma winning, calling out Tsuri and Konami after the match for their next opponent. So that should be coming at some point soon, which should be another good match.
Yeah, sure. Sounds great. Let's do it. I was shocked to see this went 19:23. I didn't think it felt that long at all.
No, you're right. And it was one of the longer, well, I guess all the title matches were longer. And of course the big, I guess it wasn't really one of the longest matches on the show, but it didn't feel that. I would agree with that.
It was
really
very long for an undercard match.
Well, and the first match of the show.
Yeah.
The matches almost progressively got shorter until the middle of the card, which is unusual. The next match was a singles match, Starlight Kid defeating May Sierra in 13 minutes and 23 seconds. I like this match. I went 3.75 on it. Even though I thought it started a little bit slowly, I think I had high expectations and then sort of thought, well, they're sort of wrestling a pretty standard match. And then they really picked it up at the end. I thought it was really exciting. So I thought it got there in the end, but started a bit slow. It's also so funny to see Starlight Kid come out with the like Oedo Tai gear. Because it's such a giveaway that it's like something's gonna happen with her. Why is she not buying new gear? Like, especially because she has all the math, like she's always wearing these different masks and things.
Yeah.
So she's clearly like a gearhead, and it's like, why wouldn't she have gotten new gear? Maybe because she's waiting for something to happen for her to buy all new gear, which just sort of made me laugh. But a match that I enjoyed, I thought continued the strong start, not as good as the opener, but still enjoyed it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at 3.5. I thought this was, it was good. It was exactly what you would expect out of these two. I thought the limb work here was done really well. I started to think we were going to get a draw just near the end, and then thankfully it wasn't. And I was like, hey, this is cool. Starlight Kid won. And then, yeah, we get the tease of a future alliance at the end. So, yeah, I was into this, too.
Then, before the next match, they announced some of the matchups for the upcoming 5-star Grand Prix, which will be happening in 4 blocks. At first, when they started announcing matches, I thought they had announced all the blocks. And I was like, did I miss that announcement? But no, because they had announced 4 people, or they had announced people in each block, but then there's 3 mystery people in each block, which I knew, and I thought, oh, if they're announcing individual matches, they must have announced everyone, but they have not. So I was very, like, I stopped, and I was like, oh my God, I missed the announcement of all the people in the 5-star. I was like looking at it online. I'm like going on Wikipedia, like, has someone put it on Wikipedia? No, I didn't miss anything. They announced that the 5-star Grand Prix, Blue Stars A, so they're Blue Stars A and Blue Stars B and Red Stars A and Red Stars B. Feels like you should just do like blue, red, yellow, green. Or something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would make more sense to have different colors.
So that match will be Shuri versus Starlight Kid. Xena and Sayori No are also in that block. B Stars Blue will be Saya Kamatani versus Ami Sorei. And Suzu Suzuki and Hanan are in that block. The Red Stars A will be Mika versus Natsupoi, and Natsukatora and Hazuki are in that block. And the Red Stars B will be Mayu Iwatani versus Tom Nakano. Got a big reaction in the building. And Azumi and Momo Watanabe are in that block. And as I said, there are 3 mystery participants in each of those blocks. So it will be a total of 21 participants. No, 28.
No, 28.
28. Yeah. Wow, that was bad math. That was like 7 times 3.
Yeah.
Nope.
3 blocks.
3 people in 4 blocks with 2 people having matches announced and 2 not. Anyway, that was announced. The next match was a tag team match. The Empress Nexus Venus duo of Hanako and Mina Shirakawa defeating Natsupoi and Yuna Mizumori in 11 minutes and 17 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
I feel like Hanako has mastered the art of being around while Mina is doing her dance in a way that Waka has never done. Because Hanako just stood there, arms crossed, looking like a badass instead of doing the Waka clap awkwardly thing. I think she handled it much better and looked like a badass. So, Hanako, thumbs up. You're doing good. The match itself was fine. I went 3.25. Just basic undercard match. I really did enjoy Mina's exchanges with Natsupoi, though.
I thought the match was super fun. Went in not really with high hopes. There were certainly a few moments of like, get this back on track. Hurry. But I thought it was really solid overall. I went 3.5. I thought it was good. Obviously, Mina picking up the win, leading into her big showdown with Toni Storm in a week at Forbidden Door. As of now, the only Stardom participant announced for that show. But yeah, I thought it was a good, sort of a standard, pretty standard, you know, get these people on the card, get them in a match, go out, have a solid match.
Yeah.
And that's all. The next match was a 6-person tag. The 3 shooters, Rani Yagami, Tomoka Inaba, and of course, Saki Kashima, teaming up to defeat Aya Sakura, Sayaka Carrara, and Tom Nakano in 11 minutes and 51 seconds. This, I thought, was fine. Really, the part I liked about it was Yagami and Inaba just sort of, like, Weekend at Bernie-ing Saki as they, like, would run in the ring, beat the shit out of someone, and be like, pin, go pin, like, drag her over and lay the body on as Saki's, like, lying around. That's the part I liked. Other than that, thought it was not much to say. Went 3 stars. Thought it was fine.
Yeah, I went 3.5 based solely on the finish of them dragging Saki's corpse on top of who, I don't remember if it was Sakura or Kurara, but either way, it was so fucking funny. And Saki like pointing at herself being like, me? I won? Was so good. Like that, I love that trio. Let's keep that trio together. They're a lot of fun.
The next match was a tag team match. I believe that the cage match description of this match is incorrect, so I'm going to do my best from my notes that I have, which would be that Amisore and the character of Kagetsu, as played by Suri, went to a time limit draw with the GM, Momo Kogo, and Mayu Iwatani, accompanied by Mayu Iwatani. Is that accurate?
I think so, yeah.
I will say when they came out and they were being introduced in the ring announcer did say Anna Harai. I think that's the actress's name. But
yes,
the Chiron did say Mayu Iwatani, which I was like, yes, that's the correct way to do it.
Yeah.
Because very funny. Sort of a comedy match here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Momo Kogo wrestling in a suit, which I found odd when they first came out. I thought, oh, is the actress gonna, I thought it was gonna be Mayu Iwatani and Mayu Iwatani with Momo Kogo at ringside, and I was like, oh, that's pretty bold. And then I realized, no, Momo Kogo is gonna wrestle. Then I thought, oh, maybe she's doing a Naito thing where she's wearing a suit and then she'll rip it off right before the match starts. Nope, that didn't happen either.
Nope.
She just fully wrestled in a suit, which I found strange.
There was a bit where I was like, wait a minute, does she play Rossi in the movie?
I also thought that. No, because there's Gussie is in the
movie.
That's
right, sorry, Gussie Ogushi.
is in the movie, so I was like, well, no, but she's playing the GM, I guess. That was the one thing that got through to me on commentary, was every time she was on camera, they were like, the GM is here. I like the Mayu and Mayu stuff, the stuff at the top of the ramp with Shuri, not knowing which one was actually Mayu, and then dragging the wrong one back into the ring. Kelly, how many time limit draws do you think are in this movie?
It's gotta be a bunch, right?
It's just the story of a woman being in time limit draws.
Yeah. A woman not winning, but also not losing.
Yeah. If the match doesn't have a result, you can't lose.
This was the first time that Amisore came out, and I was like, well, who the fuck are you supposed to be? While knowing she was in fact Amisore.
I did have a moment where she popped up on screen and I looked at her and I was like, that's, and by the time I finished the thought that in my head, I was like, oh, it's Amisore.
Yeah.
But I very briefly was like, oh, that's how Kelly feels.
Yep. That is exactly how I feel.
Where I was like, oh, that's Amisore.
Was she supposed to be like an amalgam of all of the other Waito Tai members of that era?
I don't know, because I don't know what the shirt said.
No.
I also don't know if she's in the movie as something, because I know that a handful of the wrestler, you know, obviously yeah. Shuri's in it, Momo Kogo's in it, the GM. So I don't really know.
I assumed that using like the fuzzy weapons was her being like knockoff Chris Wolf.
Oh. I didn't think about that, but you think she, because she was also just wearing a white shirt with writing on it.
Yeah, no.
That probably would have helped if we could have read it and said, oh, this person is this. But didn't have that. So, but a very funny match, sort of unexpected. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the last time I was like, oh, Stardom doing a comedy match on a big show that's not like Stardom and Showcase or whatever.
And I got to say, the fake Mayu was pretty good.
Yeah. Took the Boston Crab.
Yep.
Pretty well. So, yeah. Well, and that's why I thought she must have gone through wrestling training to be in the movie.
Yeah, she had to have.
Which is why at first I thought, oh, they're going to team up together.
Yeah, because she was throwing like the forearm strikes pretty good, too.
But we'll see. But the movie is out now, correct?
I don't know, to be honest.
Because it felt like the last big show, they were like, the movie's coming out. The movie's coming out. And now it's like, and here's a match about the movie. I don't know. Maybe it's just late stage promotion. Maybe. Could be. I don't know. I have no idea. But yeah, fun match. Enjoyable. And that was sort of the appetizer before the business end of the card, you could say, because the next match was a losing unit must split 10-person tag team elimination match. The rules, I believe last time when we recorded, it had been requested that it was a loser, or it was a unit disbands match. Then it came out that it was actually just going to be a loser leaves unit match, and I believe what happened is there was some tomfoolery with the contract, and that got changed to the loser remains in the unit and everyone else on the losing side has to leave.
That's kind of good.
Which was the official rule of this. Oedo Tai defeating Queen's Quest in 27 minutes and 29 seconds. Tekla eliminated Lady C. Rina eliminated Miyu Amasaki for Oedo Tai to go up 5-3. Hina eliminated Rina. Ruaka eliminated Hina. Azumi eliminated Ruaka. Azumi eliminated Tekla. Azumi and Momo Watanabe were double eliminated, going over the top rope and then doing a head scissors to the floor. And then Natsuka Tora eliminated Saya Kamatani to win the match for Oedo Tai. Kelly, I'm very interested to hear what you thought about this match.
Before I let you know that, I've been looking at things about the Runaway Wrestler. It was released mid-May. And according to the Rotten Tomatoes page of cast and crew, Razor Ramon HG is in the movie.
Like the person, not the character of them, but the person.
The character. The wrestler Razor Ramon Hard Gay.
Yes.
Is in the movie.
As himself or as someone else?
As someone else.
Okay. That's what I was getting at. I was like, is the character of Razor Ramon Hard Gay in the movie?
He is playing someone, as is Hiroshi Tenzan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
You learn a lot. Is Ami Sorey in the movie?
Not that I can tell.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
All right. I'll do more research as we're, and I'll drop more little things I discover as we do the show, but unit disbands match. I liked this. Though I will say the fake Momo turn was dumb, and it reminded me of Konami turning on Jungle Kiona after teaming with her for the full match. That was dumb as shit. But like, other than that, I thought this was fun. It was like kind of the Dragon Gate style unit disbands match I was hoping for. As much as Wado Tai annoys me, I do think the right team won here, because I guess cartoon bad guys are going to be more useful down the road than the shambling corpse of Queen's Quest. So yeah, I liked it. I went 4 stars. I will say it felt very weird to have this match end, and then it's like, all right, there's more show. Like, this feels like it should have been a main event.
Yeah, I could see that, especially because there was a lot after of people coming out, and there was talk of, well, you should be in this unit. No, we're going to form our own unit. We're going to form a unit of our own generation. A lot going on that didn't get resolved in the end.
Right. Yeah.
It was sort of like, you could join our unit, and everyone sort of left being like, well, we'll think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And walked away. I agree with you. In the moment Momo turned on Natsuko, and I was sort of like, okay, this is another one of those things where it's like, you waited all match to do this, which never really makes sense, but happens all the time. But I could see it in the moment of being like, I've changed my mind at the last time, because it did feel like in that moment, it felt like Momo being like, I'm actually going to do this instead. But then the turn back also made no sense, because she turns, like, hits Natsuko. Natsuko goes down and gets a very close pin that's only saved by Ruaka throwing the box in.
Which, and that was very funny.
And barely, like, hitting them. And it just felt like, you've left a lot up to chance here. Like, what if Ruaka wasn't on time and Natsuko gets pinned? Like, what happens then? I guess you could make the argument. Well, I'm now like writing my own internal story.
Yeah.
Of like, what makes this make sense? I guess you could say, well, Momo turns on Natsuko. That happens.
Maybe they had planned this whole thing.
But no, like, Tora doesn't get pinned, and Momo is sort of like, well, I turned on her thinking if she got pinned in the next 15 seconds, then I would be out and could, like, lead my own unit or something. And then when it didn't happen, was like, okay, Natsuko might win, so let me turn back and get on her side. It doesn't really make any sense.
No.
It's one of those things where it happens all the time and it never makes sense that people late in matches are like, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. I like that she turned back, because I was sort of like, I don't like when people turn at the end of matches, but then I was equally annoyed that she turned back because it didn't make any sense. I'm like, just end the match, just have Tora like beat Saya Kamatani. I don't know. It's just a strange thing that I never understand that happens in like every one of these matches that mm-hmm. never makes any sense to me. That being said, shockingly, I went 4.5 stars on this because I thought everyone worked hard. It was really fun. You know, before all the Momo stuff, I was like, this is Natsuko Tora's best match of all time.
Yeah.
Partially because she was not in it a lot early on. But I thought everyone worked really hard. It was super fun. I liked that the eliminations were a little bit, it wasn't just like 5-4, 4-4, 4-3, 3-3. It was like, okay, now we're 5-3, and now we're 4-3, and now we're 4-2. And I was thinking, oh, maybe they're going to get to some like 4-1, you know, with Saya being left alone and having to fight or something, which they didn't end up doing. But it sort of kept me off my toes more than the usual elimination match format, which is one on each side, just back and forth until you're mm-hmm. down to 2 or 1 or whatever. So, yeah.
Yo, the pen pineapple apple pen dude is in the movie.
I don't understand any of the words you just said. The, you know, what?
The song, the pen pineapple apple pen.
I don't know that song. All right. I know nothing about that.
Someone out there knows exactly what I'm talking about, and that guy is in the Runaway Wrestler movie.
All right. Well, if you're a fan of pen, pineapple, apple, what?
Pen.
Pen. search out the movie, I guess. That was very unexpected. Anyway.
Sorry, I'm still researching.
Moving on to the semi-main event, not the main event yet. For the Wonder of Stardom title, Mika Iwata defeating Sayori Yano in 21 minutes and 8 seconds to win the Wonder of Stardom title. Kelly, this is what I'm assuming you meant when you said it was a newsworthy show.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It was funny because even though you said that, I thought it was all the stuff that had happened after the Queen's Quest Oedo Tai match. So I was sort of like, well, a lot did happen there. Okay. And spent the whole match being like, well, Mika Iwata's not winning.
Yeah.
Clearly. So it was like I wasn't invested in the match. And then all of a sudden she won. And I was like, what? literally my first two notes of only three notes that I wrote was, whoa. Well, okay. were my notes just a crazy? It's just crazy to me.
Yeah, it is really wild that, like, in the same 2 week period, Marigold steals a rookie from Sendai Girls, and Stardom's like, well, what if we make your champion one of our champions?
Why don't we also make the person who's notoriously never wins?
Yes.
Win the title in Stardom. Like, yes, is current Sendai Girls champion and has defended it one time, I believe, in the past, however many months she's had it, which is Sendai Girls tradition for their titles, that those titles never get defended. But it was just like, okay, this is interesting. I enjoyed the match, even though I was not invested because I thought that Iwata was not winning. So I was sort of like, oh, this is pretty good for a match that I know what the outcome is. And then I didn't know the outcome. So at the end, I just wrote 4 stars with a question mark. Did you like the match, Kelly?
I did. I went 4.25 on it. And yeah, this is the one that I saw the result of because I just absentmindedly opened Instagram. And the very first thing on my feed was like, Mika Iwata beats Sayori Yano. And I'm like, God damn it. I forgot that show was today. I was like, oh, well, okay, fine. But yeah, no, like, even knowing that, it didn't really hurt the match for me because it's such a wild result that I was like, all right, let's see how this goes. And I thought the match was great. Iwata was throwing bombs like the whole match. And Sayori was fighting hard, but she was just getting her ass beat like the whole time. It was a cool match. I'm sad to see Sayori's run end already because I thought she was having a good title run. But like, Iwata is such an interesting choice to dethrone her. I'm totally fine with it. This was my favorite match of the night.
Also, some controversy erupting afterwards because Natsupoi comes out. Sayori Yano is dejected and like wandering away. And Natsupoi's like screaming at her about like, you gotta get up, you know.
Yeah.
Stick up for yourself. And then a heckler yelled in the audience. Kelly, did you see this whole thing?
No, I missed this.
Some heckler. They were called a heckler. I don't know what their intention was. I saw an English translation of the promo and this whole thing, but Natsupoi was shouting at Sayori and the person said something like shouted out a full sentence thing. And both Natsupoi and Mika Iwata like turned to the person and were like, shut the fuck up. And then like kept going with the promo, like the person shouted it out and they both turn, you see it in the video and they're both like, shut up. Be quiet.
Okay, I saw that. I missed the someone yelling something, so I didn't know what they were like reacting to or whatever. That's funny.
But it's very strange because then Okada came out and was like, hey, we encourage cheering at the shows, but also be polite, which I think some people took as him being like, no, we want people cheering these, like doing these things, which is not like, it all didn't really make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, that's very Japanese, though, you know?
Yes. It's very Japanese. It's a thing, like, on an American show that especially based on what the person said, and I have no, like, I can't recall really with any memory what it was, but it seemed fairly like, like Sayori, get up or something, or saying something. I don't know. You know, on an American show, you wouldn't think twice, because at least to my knowledge, it wasn't something where they were like, it was a derogatory comment.
If it was America, someone would be on, show us your hooters. And then everyone else around would be like, hell yeah.
So just a sort of strange, I mean, the whole thing was strange with Natsupoi like in tears screaming in the ring.
Yeah.
And Sayori just sort of sadly, you know, Charlie Brown music playing, wandering off into the night.
But if that doesn't like fully just describe both of their like character personalities, just Sayori being like, please leave me alone. I lost. I want to go and like not be out here right now. And Natsupoi's like, what the fuck? We're doing a show.
But Miki Iwata saying, I believe the first defense of the title will be on July 15th at Korakuen Hall.
That's what it sounded like, yeah.
So we'll have to see that. That was the semi-main. The main event of the evening for the World of Stardom title, Maika, the champion, successfully defending her title, defeating Zena in 22 minutes and 27 seconds. I really like this match. Another one that sort of took me by surprise. I thought Zena worked really hard, had some great strike exchanges. Zena really beating the shit out of Micah's chest.
Yeah, she did.
There for a while. Shoot headbutt in this one, which really got me heated. I was like, oh, yeah, hell yeah. So I just thought it was great, especially for a match in which I was sort of like, okay, this isn't, you know, a really top caliber, not top caliber, caliber is the wrong word, but sort of, you know, it's not a match where you're like, okay, this is a big one and Maika could lose the title. I guess I shouldn't think that after the match before. I also thought that. but I just thought they both worked really hard, especially Zena, who I thought it was her best match, and I went 4.25 stars. So I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was really good. I went 4 on it. I still say I would not have main evented with this. Like, I think I messaged you and said, like, I hadn't watched this yet, but it's like, all right, if I'm at the show, there is a very good chance I would leave before the main event to beat the traffic if this was the main. Just because, I don't know, it doesn't feel like this is a main event caliber match. But you know what? They went out and made it work. And I kind of feel like that's been Micah's title run. Is that I don't feel like she's been given the best material to work with, I suppose is the best way I can put it. But she's done great and has really excelled. But like I still think that the Wato Tai match probably should have been the main event, even though you did have the Natsukatora title challenge afterwards, which, ugh. But hey, Inaba came out and challenged, and that's cool. I'm into that.
What's going on, guys? This is Rich, co-host of the Flagship Podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We'll get right back to your show. Just want a brief moment to tell you about a sponsor that we have here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network, Arena Club. Now, Arena Club, man, they're great for card collectors. If you're a card collector out there, this is the read for you. And in this hobby, you know, I know you know, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up. We think, oh man, here's the 86 Michael Jordan Fleer rookie card. It's going to be in this pack. It never is. It's never in that pack. And usually you don't have zero, you have zero transparency on available cards and hit rates. It's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each and every one. And when I buy Slab Packs from Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And I've talked about before, I go to card shows, I grab random packs, I have fun opening them, but I know there's nothing good ever in there. There never is. There's never going to... Why? That's why they're available to buy, because there's nothing good in there. That's not the case anymore with Arena Club Slab Packs. They're better than those mystery packs, because they have a display of available cards. They have a display of the hit rates. They have a display of the grading. You know exactly what you're getting. It's transparent. And Arena Club, more than that, they're an awesome place for collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying. If you're a card collector, you get it all at Arena Club. Now, Arena Club Slab Packs are revolutionizing the repack game, like we said, with full transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed into your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling, and you can have them officially graded by Arena Club as well. And the Arena Club grading process is great. It's fast, it's accurate, it's transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. You're not putting this thing in an envelope, send it out to the mail, and then get back a number. Oh, it's a 6.2. Why? Whatever. Too bad. We just said it was 6.2. No, you get all of the rationale, all the explanation of how your card is scored and how it is graded. And man, Arena Club, whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform that you have to check out. But there's even better news here, because right now you can get 10% off your first purchase at Arena Club by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Make sure you use that link to get the 10% off your first purchase. Again, arenaclub.com/VOWnet. That is a crazy offer. That is 10% off of your first purchase of anything. If it's a $400 slab pack, you're getting $40 off immediately just by going to arenaclub.com/VOWnet. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/VOWnet for 10% off your first purchase. arenaclub.com/VOWnet, 10% off your first purchase. And we appreciate them for sponsoring the Voice Wrestling Podcast Network. Now, back to your show.
Yeah, that will be the next defense, I believe also on July 15th.
Yeah.
And then the winner of that match will take on Natsuka Tora.
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Title. So, but Inaba, maybe. That's exciting.
Yeah, Inaba's cool.
That's good. I don't know why it's not Saki Kashima. She got the pin for her team. Why isn't she out there challenging?
Saki's concussed or whatever.
Ask questions.
She's just in the back still asking people, I won?
Yeah. So that was Stardom's The Conversion. Very weird title to say.
It really is.
That was Stardom's The Conversion.
But you know what? I was converted.
Yeah, there you go. The next show we're going to talk about is Marigold Show, the grand opening Wars Night 4, their Korakuen Hall show from June 11th in front of 985 fans. We'll get right into it. The first match at the debut of Komomo Minami being defeated by Mirai in 14 minutes and 1 second. I thought that this match was insanely long.
Yes.
For a rookie's first match.
This was far too long.
Going against Mirai.
Yeah.
There was a moment on commentary, I don't remember if it was Stewart or if it was Sunny, who said, wow, Komomo's totally out of gas.
Like,
she's
yeah.
out of it. And then the match went on for another like 6 or 7 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, she doesn't seem that out of gas. She keeps going. You know, I thought she looked good in places. You know, there was nothing I was like over the moon about, but I liked the stuff she did with the arm work, the arm bar that she had at one point. But I thought 14 minutes for a rookie facing off against someone who is at very minimum in the upper half of your roster. I would argue probably in the upper tier
yeah.
of the roster, to me seems like insanity.
Yeah, no, it was absurd. It shouldn't have taken Mirai this long to put her away. And she didn't really put her away. The ref had to call for the bell. Like, she never gave up. Which I do think is kind of a cool thing for like a young wrestler to do. Like, that's interesting. But after 14 minutes, I don't know. This was far too long. Komomo, while I do think she is good, she's just not that compelling yet for us to feel that much sympathy towards her to last us this long. So it was just, I think it was a misstep. Pretty much everything about this match. Like, it makes Mirai look bad. It overexposes your new rookie. I'm interested to see her, but yeah, this was not a great first match.
This match was 9 seconds away from being the second longest match on the entire card.
That's insane.
The next match, a singles match, Nagisa Nosaki defeating Nao Ishikawa in 8 minutes and 32 seconds. Thought this was a pretty basic match, but I am enjoying the story of Nao Ishikawa sort of coming in, feeling slighted, but also not being able to win. I think that'll be a fun story for her to get her first win, although the crowd doesn't seem super into the story. Like, there were a couple moments in this match where I thought they were clearly setting up something of, like, Nao Ishikawa's fighting back. Like, she had the big slap on Nagisa at one point, and the crowd just sort of didn't react. So I was like, oh, maybe the crowd is less into it. But I think it's a nice sort of undercard story to build.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think, though, in the opening of the match, they kind of made Nao feel a little too much like a joke. Like, with the whole, she was trying, like, couldn't get Nozaki to budge at all. So, I don't know, that came off a little weird to me. But other than that, I thought the match was pretty good.
The next match was a tag team match, Mai Sakurai and Mitsu Matsui defeating Chiaki and Natsumi Shozuki in 14 minutes and 9 seconds. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
I thought this was pretty good. Natsumi Shozuki is really the standout of this match to me. She really impressed me. On the other end, I don't know about you, but I'm starting to feel like Mai Sakurai is kind of regressing.
Well, that's interesting. I have my own note on Mai Sakurai in this match. My note on Mai Sakurai is I wrote, I'm good on Mai Sakurai. At this point, she is what she is, and I'm going to say something which is going to appear very mean.
Okay.
To the person I'm comparing her with, who I really like, but let me work through it, and then maybe you'll understand.
Okay.
To me, Mai Sakurai is on the level of someone like Palm Harajuku in Tokyo Joshi.
Okay. Now, I honestly instantly understand what you mean.
I do not think Palm Harajuku, and I will say this, I like Palm Harajuku a lot more than I like Mai Sakurai.
Yes, absolutely.
But Palm Harajuku, I don't think there is ever going to be a time. I just don't think it's been long enough. I don't think there's ever going to be a time where Palm Harajuku is going to come out and bust out some crazy 4.5-star match that you're like, holy shit, where has this been all this time?
Yeah.
It's like she is what she is. I think Palm Harajuku does that, what she is, very well. The problem is, I don't think Mai Sakurai does what she is very well. I mean, largely now, she sort of is this rich aristocrat character, which is fine, but you're sort of in the wrong promotion to be like, oh, the only important thing is she has a good character. It's like, great. And then the match starts and I am not interested in watching.
Correct. Yeah. No, like Palm is also incredibly charming. Mai Sakurai is not really.
It's like, great, you sit in the middle of the ring and you pretend to sip on a glass of tea. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Really at all. And it's like I said last time, she was in Stardom and she got to go in there every match and she was with people who were A, better than she was, and sometimes some of the best wrestlers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You can look good just saying, okay, bring me along, Shuri, you know, we're having a match. Shuri, do what you want to do. And it looks great because Shuri's great here. And we'll get to more offenders of this in a few minutes. Some of this roster is nowhere near that level. They could get there in a little time, but right now, you know, where they're coming from, whatever they were doing, they are not on the level of, you know, I'm a great in-ring worker where I can just take you and I'm going to drag you along and we're going to have a good match because I say so.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm good enough, you know, no offense to these people that they're not amongst the best wrestlers in the entire world. You know, it's not meant as an insult. But it's just like, now she has to be one of the leaders. And I just don't think she really has that.
Yeah. My Sakurai probably shouldn't be the veteran in a match, you know?
Correct.
Though I suppose she wasn't in this one. Misa Matsui is a 5-year veteran.
You know, and I'll say on the...
Oh, and then Shozuki has been at it for 12 years. So, yeah.
Yes, and it clearly showed because in my notes I wrote the two best people in the match were Matsui and Shozuki, who both looked really good and had some fun stuff. Shozuki has some fun offense. And they clearly looked, you know, like people who've been doing it a while and sort of know what they're doing. And it's like, oh, that looks great. Great. I want more of that. And then it's like, okay, here's my Sakurai to sort of do
something
some very basic, whatever. So that's my thoughts. We move on to the next match. Was a 6-person tag team match. Chika Goto, Koke Amore, and Miko Aono defeating the Gaijin trio of Bozilla, Myla Grace, and Zeta Steel in 14 minutes and 4 seconds. I'll just say my first note for this match was parts of this were eek.
Yeah. Koki and Myla Grace may have some of the absolute worst chemistry I've ever seen in wrestling.
Keep them apart. Keep them apart.
Never let them in the ring together. Like, my goodness, that was rough. That was so... I don't know if it was a language barrier issue or what, but those two cannot work together.
My positive on this match was I actually like Zeta Steel.
I do too. I was going to say that.
I think she has good energy. Her stuff looks pretty good. I really like the stuff with her and Bozilla. And then Bozilla just killing her at the end of the match.
Yeah, she's a really good just shithead. Like, she's great at that.
And I like they announced the singles match, which I think just happened yesterday. They announced it on Twitter and Zeta just retweeted it with the word fuck in all caps.
She's great at Twitter. Like, which just I was like, that okay. One alone, tremendous. Yeah.
I was like, that's good. But my note literally was, I like Zeta Steel. She has good energy. Koke and Myla, different story. It was rough. You know, Koke is clearly being set up to be a focus. I think based on her sort of look, her appearance, but she is the person who out of really everyone, and there's a few people who you could probably say, oh, they're working on it, they're developing. I mean, she needs the most, like, let's figure out the basics here first. Yeah.
I'm saying stick her with Utami. Like, I think she can learn a lot from Utami. Just they seem very similar in that just appearance and the style they kind of want to work. Like, I just stick those two together, make her Utami's apprentice, essentially.
Yeah, it's just like, look, if their hope was in 6 months she's going to be at the top of the card.
That's not happening.
It may happen down the line. I mean, some of these people are very green or have been working a style that isn't really this style, which is totally fine. It's just, I certainly think after that first show, it was sort of like, oh, Coke, you know, who's going to be the big thing? Obviously, Bozilla. And I mean, Bozilla has moments where you're like, okay, like.
Yeah, but she's also 20.
Yes, she's 20 and she has the character down pat.
Yeah.
Like, there are things where it's like, okay, maybe this move, not super great, but you're like, she knows her character. You're not out there thinking, who is this person? wandering around the ring. She sort of has the hardest part. I say that as someone who's never trained to be a wrestler, but I think sometimes when you're doing it, the hardest part is, you know, you can be great in the ring, but if you mm-hmm. can't figure out your character, then it doesn't really matter. And so Bozilla has that. And maybe that's a thing, you know, Bozilla will be a focus until she leaves at the end of the year, if that is still what happens. And you have time for, you know, I think Miku is going to be a little bit of a focus as well. So you have some people who you could sort of be like, okay, let's spend some time with them and then check back on this in X amount of time, whatever that is.
Yeah. Cause yeah, now I'm looking at Cage Match. Koki is 27 with 77 matches under her belt. So it's, she has time to grow still, but you know, she's not as young as a lot of other people on the roster.
But it's also likely that Bozilla, you know, I guess she could, but I'm not imagining Bozilla is going to stay in Marigold for 5 years.
Shit, she might.
She might, but she also might not. I mean, she might go and be signed by, I don't, WWE or something.
No, don't say that. Don't put that in the world.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But she might be signed by AEW. I don't know. She might.
I also don't want that.
She might want to go home and wrestle for Progress.
IPW Germany Full Aggression.
You know, you don't know. It just seems less likely she'll be here just because she doesn't live in the country.
Yeah.
Solely for that reason. But yeah, a match not to remember, I would say. Cage Match rating 3.74, which is very low.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, the semi-main of the show was a singles match, Seri defeating Victoria Yuzuki in 13 minutes and 6 seconds. This a similar length to the opener, but I think based on the way that they've set up Yuzuki, I thought this was much more justified, yes. And I thought it was a much better match.
Absolutely. I mean, and this is a semi-main, too. And this was a glorified squash, but I thought it was still a very good showing for Yuzuki, and, you know, it's a sorry match, so it's going to be good. I went 3.5 on it.
And the main event, another singles match, Utami defeating Nanai Takahashi, the first ever defeat Takahashi has taken in a passion injection match, losing in 18 minutes and 56 seconds. I'm interested to know what Kelly thought of this, because I thought it was a great match.
I thought it was really good. I will say, though, Nanai did get the 3.5 shoulder up. Yeah, just...
Gotta keep the heat, brother.
Gotta keep the heat, brother. I liked it. I went 4 stars. I will say it took a while to grab me. But like after the 10-minute mark or so, I was pretty locked in, and it got really good.
Yeah, I thought they were just pummeling each other. I went 4.25. I just really enjoyed it. Really good match, a good end to this show. I think if they had gone out and it was like 3.5, you'd probably end the show being like, okay.
Yeah.
But good to have this. And then of course the big moment after the match, the talk of the wrestling world, I think it's fair to say, a video from Io Shirai. I cannot call her Io Sky. I won't do it.
Oh, that's who you were talking about. Okay. I was confused.
Challenging Utami to a match at the show coming up in July at Ryogoku. A singles match. The two former leaders of Queen's Quest. We were just talking about Queen's Quest. Now they're, I guess they have the same leader because it's still Saya who's by herself.
Yeah.
But a big match, supposedly. Well, Dave came out and said that they sold 1,000 tickets in the day after the match was announced. But then the company themselves came out and said they sold 600 tickets in the day after. So I don't know if Dave was inflating, if they I don't know what happened, well, but it seemed very weird for the company to come out and be like, no, 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 reporter. Actually, we sold less tickets than you said.
I don't think it was Dave himself inflating. I think there was someone else who's a very good friend of Rossi inflating the number.
But then why would the company come out and be like, we sold 600?
Because maybe they're like, hold on, 1,000's a little ridiculous. Let's walk this back.
It just was very funny
to
see.
You're blowing up our spot. Hold on. We're doing very well, but not that well. We need to get some more legitimate businessmen to buy out entire rows of seats.
Either way, I think, you know, a good sign, people excited to see that match. And I think 600 may be, I haven't actually watched the show, so I'm sort of saying this very cockily, but weird word for me to say, but 600 might be more than was at Bloodsport. So,
yeah, I haven't watched the show yet, but based on everything I've heard about it, that sounds about right.
I haven't watched it either. I was trying to watch it and the wouldn't play, and that was that. but anyway, Marigold, that was their grand opening wars night 4 from Corican Hall. Stardom and Marigold have had some other things happening. New Blood 13. Hanan and Saeeda successfully defending their New Blood tag titles against Aya Sakura and Sayaka Karara.
Also on that show was Tomoka Inaba defeating Rana Yagami in a very good match I would recommend checking out.
Marigold also began their tournament for the United National title. That happened in the aftermath of that six-person tag on the Corican Hall show. On the 16th, Bozilla defeated Nagisa Nosaki to move on in that tournament. Miku Aono and Mirai went to a 15-minute time limit draw, were given an extra 5 minutes of time and went to a time limit draw. And then on the show that just happened on the 23rd, I believe went to another time limit draw. So I don't know what's happening there.
Absolutely not. Rossi. What are you doing?
This
is a tournament. This is a single elimination. What are you doing?
I do sort of like the idea of extending a tournament by just having people who can't beat each other. And we're like, well, the next show, we're going to have to see what happens. Oh, another time limit draw. Okay. Next show, come back. Maybe someone will win.
Rossi just keeps writing time limit draw on the run sheet. And every time he's like, oh, you're crazy for this one, Rossi.
That show also had the Zeta Steel and Bozilla match. That is up on Wrestle Universe, I believe, now. I have not watched it yet because it just happened. But I do very much want to watch that Bozilla-Zeta Steel match.
Yes.
Seedling had a show on June 12th. This was that wacky show that we talked about last episode, highlighted by the high-speed mask against heavy makeup match where Ka Kadita defeated Natsu Sumire in 8 minutes and 4 seconds, forcing Sumire to remove her heavy makeup, which was done by them sitting her in a chair in the middle of the ring and what I can only describe as dumping makeup remover on her face.
It was so bizarre.
She was like spitting it out. I was like, this must be dangerous.
Yeah.
For your health. But removed the majority of her makeup. I'll be interested to see if she returns like for the next show with the makeup back. I think it would be funny if she didn't have the makeup.
Yeah.
I fully expected it to be losing the mask. And so was shocked when it was not that. but very funny. And then the big one was the 12 person, how do I describe this? The 12 person multi-match fiesta.
Yeah, series of matches.
started with a singles match, Mima Shimoda defeating Yuki Mashiro in only 2 minutes and 6 seconds. Then a tag team match, Arisa Nakajima and Veni went to a 15-minute time limit draw with Dash, Shizako, and Shuri in what I thought was the match of the show.
That match ruled.
I went 4.25 stars, Kelly.
I was 4.
Great match. Then they did a 6-person tag. Ayame Sasamura, Rina Yamashita, and Tsukasa Fujimoto defeating Makoto Maeyukihi and Nagisa Nosaki. And then they added, it was not originally planned, but they did a 12-person tag team match. The Arisa Nakajima team, I won't read everyone again, defeating the, I'll call them the Tsukasa Fujimoto team in 20 minutes and 42 seconds. All pretty fun. Easy watch, that show. And then the main event, Seri successfully defending her Beyond the Sea title, defeating Misa Kagura in 11 minutes and 43 seconds. So a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Ribbon had a show on the 23rd. I have not watched this show yet, but this was the show that had the Mayu Iwatani Tsukasa Fujimoto IWGP title match. I have heard it ended in about 15 minutes after Fujimoto dislocated her shoulder, I believe.
Oh, man.
And so was ended by referee stoppage. Like I said, I haven't watched it, but from the people who did watch it, they were disappointed because they said it was actually very good up to that point. So sort of a bummer to lose that, and hopefully Fujimoto can get better very soon, because I know that I believe she was going to go away again soon. So I hope that she's able to come back and wrestle more.
Yeah.
Also on that show, Yuri defeating Hamako Hoshi to win the vacant Ice Ribbon title. I know there was some controversy because the IWGP match went on third from the top.
That's wild.
Which some people were not crazy about. But
you know what? With the injury ending, probably worked out for the best.
Yeah. In Wave, Catch the Wave still happening. The May 18th and the June 16th show, I believe, are up for members of their YouTube subscription. I believe that and the matches on Stardom World are the only Catch the Wave matches that are up. And also, before we leave, this isn't really related to, or before we leave what's happening currently, this isn't really related to current Joshi. In fact, it's specifically not related to current Joshi. But I did want to put in a plug. There's a Twitter user also on YouTube, Kataveri, I believe is the name, who has created a 70-hour-long set of 1980s Joshi.
Holy
that
shit.
That is being released in 4-hour blocks or so on YouTube. It's promos, it's other things, but they are all English subtitled.
What?
And they're sort of the best matches of the 80s. You know, volume one starts with January to November of 1980. I believe volume 4 was just released and covers up to the middle of 1983, I believe. I haven't watched too much of them yet, but I have started, and very cool. So you can check that out. Find them on Twitter or find the videos on YouTube. Kadaveri is the name. So check
I'm
going to
watch the hell out of this.
Then before we talk about what's upcoming, we have some big updates in the Joshi Fantasy League. So here is what's happening. It's all up for grabs here. Kelly still bringing up the rear with 225 points. And as we talked about last episode, it is the official episode of the Wrestler Swap. Kelly has elected to lose Miyu Yamashita and will be taking on Saki.
Yep.
So that is the trade. Kelly's current points. Venny has 38. Miyu Yamashita is now done, but got Kelly 39 points. Utami and Takumi Aroha both on 41 points. And Rini Yamashita still the big point getter for Kelly at 66 points, so 225 points. And Liam has now tied me up at 306 points. So it's all to play for. I'll start with Liam. Liam at 306 points. Seri at 41 points. Chihiro Hashimoto is the wrestler that Liam has chosen to drop. Chihiro had 48 points so far this year. Aoi at 58. Suzu Suzuki at 66. And Unagi Sayaka at 93. And Liam picking up Bozilla for the second half of 2024. So could be a big point getter there. And on 306 as well, that would be yours truly at, like I said, 306. Ibuki Hoshi, obviously the wrestler I'm dropping, only got me 29 points because she has not wrestled since March 23rd.
Had to have a stupid baby.
Miyu Watanabe at 45 points. Saya Kamatani at 54. Yu at 86. And Miyuki Takase at 92. And I will be picking up Ryo Mizunami as my pick. I was debating. I almost went with Mirai, but all those time limit draws really scared me off. A time limit draw in a 14-minute match against a rookie, and I thought, ooh, no. Maybe not.
Abandon ship.
So it's a tight one. It's, you know, the top two are tied, and Kelly has closed the gap very slightly.
Hey, a little bit.
To us. So you never know what will happen. We will have to see, but the official swap has happened, and we will go from there. What's coming up in the next 2 weeks of Joshi? Well, frankly, not much, if I have to be quite honest. Stardom has a number of Korakuen Hall shows. They have Korakuen Hall shows on June 29th, July 4th, and July 7th, but as of the time when I put these notes together, they hadn't announced anything for any of those shows. So the shows are happening. What's going to happen on them? I don't know. Now Kakuta is doing a Purdue show with Tokyo Joshi called Cross. Match there is going to, there's going to be a graduation battle royal. And there will be Nao Kakuta and Tei Hanma will take on Sayori Ano and Natsupoi if they're still not yelling at each other or walking away from each other or whatever.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if that plays a role in this match at all.
Nao Kakuta will be retiring at the end of July. We'll be talking those official matches on the next episode. And of course, the Catch the Wave tournament is continuing. Other than that, Marigold has a number of smaller shows, house shows, as they build up to their big July 13th show, which we'll talk about next time. But really, other than that, a pretty quiet upcoming 2 weeks after a pretty crazy previous 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's weird to have this kind of so much free time.
If anyone wants to slip us the subtitled version of Runaway Wrestler, feel free.
Yeah, we'll watch it.
We'll watch it. We'll review it on this very show. You know we will.
Absolutely. When's that Netflix wrestling show coming out?
Oh, the Dump Matsumoto one?
Yeah.
I think it's still a couple of months because I always see it in like the upcoming section and then they're like, it's coming out in 4 months.
Okay.
I don't know if that's still the case, but let's see. Let's sit in silence and look.
About, all right, we're on Netflix.
Netflix data dump. Well, that doesn't help me.
The Queen of Villains is what it's called.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't find anything.
The Queen of Villains. The Queen of Villains is an upcoming. Yeah, I know that. I know it's upcoming. Thank you. It doesn't say, I don't think.
Yeah.
Well, one day it will come out. and not a day sooner. Yeah, all it says is 2024. I do have a reminder on for it.
Same.
So we'll know, but we'll have to see. The show is rousing and nostalgic, according to Netflix.
Oh.
So. Well, Kelly, it's that time again. It's time for Kelly's Corner, so I throw it to you to say something.
So after we recorded our last episode, for whatever reason, I was like, you know, I'm going to start watching Twin Peaks. So I've started watching Twin Peaks, and I'm watching one episode a week. I'm watching it as it was intended. You know what? It's kind of great doing that. I'm actually like excited to watch the next episode. I'm three episodes in. I watched the third episode today. I was very excited to see that little dancing guy pop up. He was dancing through the credits, and Paramount Plus was like, "Oh, do you want to skip the credits?" And I was like, "Absolutely not. Let me watch this little guy vibe." Yeah, it's a good time so far. Twin Peaks. Check it out. Watch it once a week. I recommend it. Who would have thought watching something as it was originally intended is the way to go?
I have watched the first episode of Twin Peaks, I think, four times and have not seen any of the rest of the show.
Like, I watched it and I was like, yeah, this is just a soap opera. This just tickles the exact same part of my brain that General Hospital does. And I tell you what, I watch 5 hours of General Hospital a week, so I'm in.
That's wild to me.
Yeah,
I did know that, but it's still wild to me.
General Hospital's like my favorite show.
General Hospital's biggest fan, Kelly.
Yeah, anytime someone's like, "Hey, have you watched insert prestige television show here?" And I'm like, "No, I have so much wrestling and 5 hours of General Hospital to watch a week. I definitely have not seen whatever show you're trying to tell me about."
That is a commitment, a major time commitment.
House of the Dragon, get in the trash.
Yeah, no thanks. Do they, I don't know, what's the latest storyline on General Hospital?
So Finn is one of the doctors who is a past drug addict, and his father just died, and he has now relapsed and started drinking a lot. So he's having a real bad time, and everyone's trying to tell him, like, "Hey, you're a crazy drunk, please stop being a crazy drunk." And he's like, "No, I love my daughter." And so he passed out in his house. His daughter came home, and who is like five, and she was like, "Oh shit, dad died now. Grandpa died last week. Now dad's dead." So someone is trying, some family friends are trying to take his daughter from him because he cannot be trusted.
I always imagine General Hospital is a hospital that only treats very general problems. "Hi, I have a broken arm." That's very specific. This is a general hospital. But anyway, a shocking plug for General Hospital.
I mean, I can do a General Hospital segment every 2 weeks. We can add that to the show.
I thought you were going to say you could do a General Hospital podcast.
I could absolutely do it. All right, Taylor, you're going to start watching General Hospital?
No, I can't.
So we're
going to...
We're going to alternate weeks. So every other week we'll do this show, and then the other week we'll do the General Hospital show.
And then one week I'll end up saying, "Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of General Hospital." That will be the end of me.
That'll be the end of Jumping Bomb Audio, and just the General Hospital show will remain.
But that is all we have about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. So we will see you again in 2 weeks' time. For Kelly, I am Taylor saying farewell.
Goodbye, everybody.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.